All right, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Rossan, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 3rd, 2024, to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading, and there is a solution at page 18, and we're starting with an illness of this sort, ending with anyone can increase the list. All right, today's readers. So we have, for the steps, Tenzin P. Anne-Marie M. is going to do the traditions. Susan S. H. is starting us off reading. Page 164 is Loretta H. Newcomer greeters, Christina M. Second hour host is Ramona A. And the announcements is Nancy C. All right, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,368. That's a 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21368. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,369, 21369. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the steps, the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Denzel. Next up is Anne-Marie M. with the 12 traditions.
Okay, good morning, Russ. Anne-Marie M., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book, and there is a solution. Page 18 and that first paragraph. Starting with an illness of this sort, ending with anyone can increase the list. And I've asked Susan S.H. to start us off with the reading.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Susan S.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in St. Mary's, Ohio. Okay. An illness of this sort. And we have come to believe that an illness involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. If a person has cancer, all are sorry for him and no one is angry or hurt. But not so with the alcoholic illness, for with it there goes annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, sad wives and parents. Anyone can increase the list. How this reads to me is that, it really is an illness. And so long, I did not believe that. And so many people don't believe that this addiction is a real illness. They're just angry that I was certainly angry with myself for many, 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 most of my adult life. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't leave this alone. And that's the way it's seen by many people. So we do get disgusted friends and employers, and it hurts the people around us. And it hurts us. And I'm so grateful to have the directions and the information that I have in the Big Book about my addiction. And see clearly now that there is an answer. There is a solution, and it's in the book. It's in the directions. It's in the fellowship. And all those things guide me straight to higher power. So I'm grateful that a higher power has come in and delivered me from this stuff. But, brought me back to sanity. what can I do but keep working as I've been working and keep trying to stay as close as possible to my higher power. Yeah, I guess that's all I have to say. Always short shares for me, but yeah, I really feel them when I'm saying it. So yeah, I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan. So now we're going to open it up for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to share. Who would like to share on this today?
Shanna C.
Luana P.
Priscilla P. Hold on. Shanna. Alana,
Luana,
I think.
P.
Alana.
Robin. Oh, Robin P. in Italy.
Robin P.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie.
Vasa O.
Lauren Brickman. Felicia D. in Rhode Island.
Vasa. Oh. Who's in Rhode
Felicia,
Island
there? Felicia D.
Felicia.
Blanca BG.
Blanca.
Lauren Grace B. New Jersey.
Lauren Grace B. All right, that's a pretty good list. Got Shanna C., Alana P., Robin P., Pete B., Anne-Marie M., Vasa O., Felicia D., Blanca BG, and Lauren Grace B. All right, Shanna's up.
Good morning, this is Shanna C. Thanks, Russ, for leading the meeting, as always, and thanks, Susan, for your reading and everyone who's been of service this morning. And I just have to just say thank you to those of you who have recovered and have stayed on this meeting, continuing to try to carry a message of hope to those who still suffer. You guys, I don't know what I'd do without you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For giving your will and life over to the care of God as you understand him and allowing, you know, this program to work and being willing to help others. Yes, definitely an illness. And when it talks about engulfing the lives of all who touch the sufferers, you know, and the key word there is sufferer that jumps out at me is I didn't realize I was actually suffering. You know, I'm suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. You know, I can get on food plans. I can work a food plan in different ways. I can make 10 calls. I can make 3 calls. I can make 1 call. I don't know. It's all nebulous. If I had a perfect rule that would keep me abstinent and sane, you know, I wouldn't need a power greater than me. The thing is I'm suffering from an illness of which I have no power, and I need to find power. And so, like was said earlier, you know, this book enables me to find a power by which I can live. And, you know, I need that spiritual experience. I didn't realize for the longest time that every bit of disturbance I would ever have would be actually me suffering from the need for a spiritual experience. So you take away the food, I'm searching for something else to provide a spiritual experience of some sort to get me out of me, because all I can think about is me. Left to my own devices. This program enables me to change, gives me the power to change my way of thinking so that I can access power. But at the same time, this illness is not just the spiritual component that I'm feeling, you know, led to talk about this morning is the physical allergy has been talked about over and over, and I can't emphasize that enough in myself, is there's certain ingredients that when I put in my body, I can't stop. Putting them in my body. I can't stop eating them. I can't stop thinking about them once I start. I can't stop thinking about how I'm going to control it. You know, that's the mental obsession and physical allergy. So, you know, on all fronts, I need help in every way from a power greater than me. But like I said, you know, for me, you know, I have to, you know, that food, once that stuff is eliminated, I start seeing just how much in need I am of an entire psychic change, which is what this book is about. And it happens daily. I get a daily reprieve when I follow these directions, like was mentioned earlier. And so grateful that as a result of those directions, my relationships have improved, you know, with people that I love.
Time.
Thank you so much. And that is everything to me. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Shannon. Next up is Alana P., followed by Robin P.
Morning, Ilana P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh. Every time I read this paragraph, I'm just so, it just takes me back to all the things that I have experienced in my life because of this disease, right? Just what they're talking about, the misunderstanding, the fierce resentment, the financial insecurity. I mean, I filed bankruptcy twice. And what really gets me is warped lives of blameless children. I had been sober in AA for many years when I had my son, but I was only in and out of OA. And I just, yeah, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty in the beginning, not till I got recovered. And yes, we're in this chapter. There is a solution. And the only solution to all these problems that I've had in my life is a spiritual solution, is finding that power greater than me that can solve not only my food, my eating problem, my addiction, but can solve every other problem that I ever have. And that power in my life today continues to do that, continues to solve any kind of disturbance that I have, any kind of confusion, anything. And I would not have this at all without this program. I would not have my food neutrality. I would not have a life where I'm happy to get up in the morning and greet the day, where I can help other people and where I can continue to pass on this message, this solution that I've been given. Grateful to be here this morning. And that's it. I pass. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Alana. Next up is Robin P., followed by Pete P. Star one, Robin.
Thank you. I was talking to myself. I'm Robin P. Thank you, rest of the meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Puglia, Italy, currently traveling. In Europe, and I'm so grateful. You know, I was just so alone with the food. I was just worshiping food. I went to food for everything, and it never worked. And just that definition of insanity. I'm so grateful that I have a solution today, and I live in the steps, and I'm of service to God and my fellows, and I'm awake, you know, and I notice things, and I'm. We were just staying at a campground. We were robbed last week, and I never would have gotten to work through it as quickly as I did without this. I mean, this program just saved my life, doing 10, 11, and 12, and having my God squad and everyone praying for us. And, you know, it's just a miracle of, you know, I always say reach up and reach out, you know, and I just know that I'm in such good hands. I would have been just alone in the food if something like us being robbed in the middle of the night had happened before. It was very traumatic, and I just see the program at work and the difference between now and if this had happened when I was in the disease. It's just a miracle of recovery and sanity and praying for the guy, the robber, and just all these things that I learned here and letting go of the resentment and just noticing we were at a campground and there was a starving sick cat and I was able to help the cat and get help for the cat and no one else seemed to notice. And I just love that God uses me because I'm an instrument of his peace today, wherever we go. And that's all a miracle of the grace of this program. It's literally the opposite of where I was. It's a whole different reality, this fourth dimension. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful for all the love I feel from my God squad in this program. God bless you all, and I hope you all have a wonderful blessed abstinent weekend, and I pass.
Thanks, Robin. Next up is Pete B, followed by Anne-Marie M.
Yeah, thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and grateful to be here. I like how, again, in the book, it's talking about this condition as an illness, as it did in the doctor's opinion, right? And you know, in medicine, I'm not a medical professional, but, you know, I'm a wannabe, you know, Instagram follower of the things medicine. But they have a concept known as the placebo effect, right? And that means that, you know, they'll give somebody a treatment that looks like the real treatment. It looks just like it. And everybody around them, everybody that participates will tell them that they're getting the treatment or they're getting the medicine. And by some strange phenomena, the person receiving it will start to feel better. Proved. Right? So much so, they might even think that the placebo that has nothing in it was the treatment. Yeah, you know, we get on this line and we talk about these things and we talk about, you know, the we and the gods with skin and the fellows and the steps as they are the solution, and they are not. The solution is what is produced as a result of implementing the steps. The solution is the connection with the power that restores us to sanity. Yet we continue to talk like we are insane, and we remain insane. You know, that we'll rush somebody through. Okay, admit you're powerless. Come to believe. You know, decide to do the rest of the steps. Say sorry. Change your behavior. You know, admit your faults. Talk to your friends. Do these things, carry the message, I'm recovered. The book talks about being restored to sanity. It talks about utilizing the resources that have been given to us by the Creator. It talks about proper use of the will, right? It tells us that we have to grow in understanding and effectiveness by implementing the process, step 10, of self-assessment. Assessment calls it a habit, a skill set we have to improve upon. Well, how do I grow in understanding and effectiveness if I never utilize the resources that the Creator gave me? Am I buying into the placebo effect that looks and sounds like the real treatment to what everybody's telling me the treatment is? I'll shut up with this. Why is it that if rushing through the steps and getting to this part and talking to all your friends, why is it if it's so effective, why is it that our recovery rate is so embarrassingly small? Why is it that relapse occurs? I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Before we get that, Anne-Marie, jump on here, let me let you know where we're at if you came in a little later. We're on page 18. There's a solution, that first paragraph, an illness of this sort, ending with anyone can increase the list. All right, Anne-Marie M. is up, followed by Vasa O.
Good morning again. Thank you. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovered through God's grace, as was just mentioned, and by doing the work in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm just going to rest a little bit because I didn't share the last couple of days with these paragraphs. The importance of, yes, God, but going to meetings that are God-centered, going to meetings that are centered in the Big Book, because the Big Book is where I found my relationship with God, and that's what this Big Book is about, is getting a relationship with God. And that's where I was steered when I went through the Big Book this past time with my sponsor. She directed me to go to meetings that discovered a common solution, which was in that last paragraph. And the paragraph before that, the last two sentences. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element of the powerful cement which binds us, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are joined now. So we need God. I need God. I should speak for myself. The feeling of having shared in peril, I would go to meetings, and that's what we did. We shared in the common peril. We shared. I would go every other week saying, I picked up again, talk about why I picked up, and there was no mention of God. So I just wanted to mention that because I didn't get a chance. I knew I was speaking today, so I speak on Fridays. But anyway, so I was so grateful to read this paragraph that it's an illness. I talk to myself like I would never talk to even my worst enemy because I thought I was such a bad person. And then when I came into OA, I did hear that this was an illness, and I was grateful. Like, I'm not a bad person. I'm a sick person getting well. And the program of OA gives us lots of tools, which I practice. I call my other fellows. I believe that God speaks through other people. I get to what I consider healthy meetings that discuss the big book, that are focused on God. I pray. I need to do all that stuff. The obsession of my mind, you know, the obsession of food, the obsession of eating compulsively was removed, not by me, not by doing those things. It was removed by God because I trusted in him and I got a relationship with him. So just wanted to, you know, say all that, and glad to know that I am a sick person getting well. Thanks.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Next up is Vasa O, followed by Felicia D.
Thank you. Thank you, Ross, for your service. And good morning, everyone. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I heard the good news when I came to the program. There was a solution to my problem. And I was so hopeless before I came to the programs, trying to control the food over the years, so up and down, here and around. I had no clue, understanding that it was an illness. And I was so grateful to find out, at least now I know what it is. It's like the cancer people, when they're diagnosed with a cancer and they find they need to do what to do to be treated. And this is what I needed to do, how to treat my illness. This is my, my treatment. This is my treatment, coming to, you know, to my a higher power. My sponsor said to me at the beginning, you know, we cannot recover. We need to surrender to a power greater than ourselves and then follow the steps the way they're laid out. And I remember saying, I will surrender to anything or anybody because I cannot do this by myself any longer. And I found hope here. And I judged the alcoholics before I came to the programs or the drug addicts. I thought, well, they should put it down. What's wrong with them, you know? And I had family dealing with alcohol and drugs. But and then coming to the program, you know, I said, oh, my God. I started having compassion for those people. For me, I have the illness also. I could not stop eating. So this was the beginning of my new life in higher power and the program. And just to go and follow the steps that were laid out with putting the food down. I didn't know about the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. Well, I knew obsession because I could not stop. But I had no clue about the allergy. And I'm almost half of my lifetime has been in OA over the years. And the blessings that I've received, not with just the food addiction, with everything in my life going through ups and downs, and I don't have to go to the food for answer to my problems any longer. And I'm so grateful. Yeah, there is ups and downs going through life, but it's learning how to deal with them. And for me, to have a higher power, to have sponsors, and to be working the steps the way they're laid out, that's the answer to my problem. So thank you for letting me share, and God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is Felicia D, followed by Bonka BG.
Hi, my name is Felicia, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Rhode Island. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service and for everyone who shared before me. You know, my mother and father both died of cancer, and when they were diagnosed, everyone rushed in with compassion and wanting to help and doing anything they could. And my mother's cancer spread to her brain, and they had to drill holes in her head to put this thing in so they could do the treatment. And it just really struck me today, like, how lucky am I that I don't have to have, you know, drills in my head to try to get some kind of treatment. I have to come here. I have to listen to healthy meetings. I have to get a sponsor. I have to listen to the suggestions that she has, because the purpose of her is to put my hand in God, and I have to surrender the fact that even though I have come to Overeaters Anonymous since 1991, I haven't done it the way that it was fully laid out in the big book. And, you know, despite having 18 months of abstinence, I got away somewhere around 15 months from the spiritual practices, and my food got a little bit sloppy, and so I started again a month ago and am doing it in a different way. And when she said, I work a rigorous program, I said, okay. And then when I wanted to feel sorry for myself that I was working this rigorous program, I was able to be honest and realize I signed up for it. There was nothing to feel sorry for myself. And when I listen to the recordings and I hear things from other people that have been willing to share and put it down so that I can listen to it, how lucky am I anytime, day or night, I can get this message. And when I take my quiet time and I can tell that I'm blocked, I can turn that over to this higher power. I can look at my prejudices. I can, you know, come into this meeting. I can hear people that I just totally agree with, and then I can hear people that I'm like, that doesn't resonate with me. And then I can move on and not think about it for the next 24 hours because it's not my business. You know, it talks about how it engulfs the lives of the sufferers. I really hear that today. So much misunderstanding, so much fierce resentment that I had and that people had in my family with me. Financial insecurity. You know, my husband and I make a lot of money and we have a lot of debt because we didn't live within our means. Disgusted friends, disgusted people at my daughter's school, people who just looked at me and just couldn't understand. My employers, I was not present. I wasn't working to the best of my ability. Sometimes I was overworking, but I was also overtired because of the stress of it and not working at my best capacity. And sometimes I just was checked out. Warped lives of blameless children. My daughter has anxiety. She's 9. She goes to therapy. And there's a lot of things that I could have done differently, but I didn't know. And so it's something that I'm trying to look at today. That husband. My husband, I remember when he looked in my office for me and he found boxes and boxes and bags of trash and cried and asked me to do something about it. And today I submit myself to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, and I have the chance to get better. Thank you.
Thanks, Felicia. Next up is Bonka BG, followed by Lauren Grace B. Star one, Bonka.
Good morning. Can I be heard? I'm sorry.
Yep.
Thank you, moderator, for taking the meeting. My brothers and sisters in this fellowship, thank you, all of you. Annihilation, that is the word. That is the word that resonates, that is the definition of my life. Through addiction, it annihilated everything. It annihilated my, not just my physical health, which it did, but my relationships with family, my hopes, my dreams. It just annihilated all of it. I wasn't able to, it annihilated opportunities because of my self-sabotage. because deep down inside, I would get right to the brink of something really wonderful, and I would sabotage myself through my addictive behavior. Because as an addict, I didn't feel that I was worthy because of my self-destructive behaviors. I just lived in that shadow of shame. Then later on, of course, it annihilated my life with a regret. A regret can annihilate one's life as well. Looking back at the past, and I should have done this, and all the things that I didn't do, and all the people that hurt me, you know, I don't do that anymore. Thanks to the miracle of this program, I cannot live back there anymore. I must move on, or I won't be able to live in the present. So thank God for that, because today my life is truly a miracle, by way of the fact that. I'm 71 now and never thought I would make it in my life to this age. So right now, today, at this moment, I am able to live in the beauty and the hope of this program. It has not been easy. It has not been simple, but it has been worth it. And I will pass with that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Blanca. Next up is Lauren Grace B., and then we'll take another list.
Thank you, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Grace B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in South Jersey. And to me, my relationships were destroyed because this is a disease of self. I was always worried about myself. Part of that was I used the food and self-protection for survival when I was growing up. They were necessary tools for me in my years to get by, to be as healthy as I could be. But unfortunately, I didn't realize that when I was a grown-up and no longer in that situation, I didn't have to use those tools anymore. And part of the problem was I inferred that I was not living up to people's expectations. I was different, terminally unique, I guess we say in the program. And there were also abuse issues. So I did have to be concerned with myself then. But then when I was an adult and I didn't let go of it, I killed my relationships because I lived in selfishness. I tried to control everyone and everything. Things had to go my way or something awful would happen. I was self-seeking. I was looking for ease and comfort and acceptance from others and circumstances going my way. And I needed that acceptance from others because, again, that was necessary in my situation growing up. I had to be accepted, and that was no longer true as an adult. And I had self-centered fear, so much self-centered fear, anxiety. I was afraid of not being looked up to. I was afraid of what people would think of me and my family. And then when I was in OA years ago and I was only abstinent, of course, I still suffered from these things because I wasn't recovered. And if anything, they got blown out of proportion even bigger. I'm sure I was miserable to live with. And yet from the outside, it looked like we had a great family. That's only because of the patience of my husband and my kids thinking they had to stay in line. Now in recovery, things are really different. And my kids have even noticed that they're different and thanked me for it. Because, of course, sometimes I still live in these character defects, but I know it. I realize it. I have a program of recovery that works for me. God is doing for me what I could never do for myself. And I used to think that only applied to the food. And now I realize it's in every area of my life. And I'm so very grateful. And that's all. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thanks, Lauren Grace. So now we're going to open up the line for sharing again. And if you shared in the past couple of days, please step back. Who would like to share on this?
Patio D. Karen K.
Hold on.
J.
Patio.
Darian K.
Darian.
Tony B.
Christina J.
And Christina J.
Susan B.
Karen K.
Karen K.
Karen, I got Karen. There was someone
I think
before you.
Susan B.
Susan B. Right, I think that's it. I think that's as far as we can go. We might not get all these, but it's a great list. Patty O, Darian K, Tony B, Christina J, Karen K, and Susan B. All right, Patty O, you're up.
Hi, everybody. My name's Patty O, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I live in Florida, and I hope I can speak from my heart and tell you what really struck me when we read this paragraph is that word annihilation. I have a son, and he's 43 years old, and I came to a program, AA, 35 years ago, and he would come to meetings with me and sit right next to me, and I've come to realize that in addition to alcoholism and drug addiction, that I have the disease of compulsive overeating. I've known that for a long time, but was unable to recover until I started about 8 months ago. So anyway, I loved my son. I couldn't wait to have a baby, and I had him, and I carried him home from the hospital, and we had a conversation. And I said, I am going to be the best mother the world has ever seen. And I meant it, but I was unable to keep that promise to him because I am an addict. And I was an addict mother, and so much. The first 7 years of his life, I could not show up for him, even though I loved him more than anything in the world. And I could not go to his PTA meetings, his soccer games, because of the shame and self-centeredness that consumed me. And so, you know, when I came into recovery, I mean, he's an adult now. He's 43 years old, and he's active in Manhattan. He lives in Manhattan, and he's active and an alcoholic and drugs. I know he's a compulsive overeater also, but and the guilt was unbearable. And the other day he called me and he said, Mom, I'm sorry, I'm such a terrible son. I'm sorry. And I found myself saying, Nate, you don't have to apologize for being an addict. It's a disease. And all of a sudden, I could let go of that guilt. I don't have to apologize. I have to be accountable, but I don't have to apologize for the fact that I was so sick. And so you ever hear the expression, take my advice, I'm not using it. So when I found myself saying that to him, I heard my own words, and anyway, I'd ask you to pray for Nate and me. Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. Next up is Darian K., followed by Tony B.
Oh, good morning, Russ. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Good. Just grateful to be on the line with all of you. Yeah, what I'm getting from most of the shares is that we did enough damage to ourselves. And when we come into program, you know, we need that love and acceptance and tolerance, kindness, patience of others because we've done enough damage on our own. Annihilation, isolation, alienation, you know, all of those things that that just brought me to a very sad place, you know. And so, you know, in my humble opinion, there's no room for criticism in this program. you know, on this meeting especially, because we're all trying to help each other. And, you know, some are sicker than others, as it's said, but we are all sick people trying to get well. And I know that's who I am today. I am trying a day at a time to do the best I can, you know, and to reach out in the way that helps me. And, you know, recovery, well, disease is a ripple effect, you know, because I feel like that paragraph pretty much says that. But recovery is too, you know, and when we can put out those positive vibes and loving, kind, tolerant, patient vibes, you know, toward others, not just in the program, but even, especially in our homes, I should say, because I'm always working on that emotional sobriety piece. And relationships, you know, I'm going to get better. And that's also the reason I stay in program. I mean, why would anyone, you know, stick around somewhere and do this work for over 30 years? You know, it's beyond me when I think about my past, you know, dieting days. It was Monday through Thursday because Friday was sort of the beginning of the weekend, so... you know, I don't have a good track record in any other program, but I think I stick with this because there's a ripple effect of love, and I appreciate that in this program, and I appreciate all of you for listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Darian. Next up is Tony B, followed by Christina J.
Thank you, Ross. Tony B, compulsive overeater in Scotland. Yeah, what stood out to me was worthwhile, you know, the annihilation of everything worthwhile. And I guess good and nourishing was worthwhile. And I was thinking about things in life that are, you know, a career, being part of society. I'd get a job and then I'd feel that it wasn't good enough for me. And yet I had no motivation to study or hang in there to do the work to find something that did fulfill me. Relationships, you know, with family and friends. I had envy of my brother, resentments to my mum and dad. I blamed them for my dereliction. You know, so how could I have close relationships with them? And as for a mature give and take intimate relationship, well, caring and being cared about, that just didn't happen. I wanted them to care for me in an unlimited way when I didn't know how to love and give back. And social life, friends, I was jealous. I wanted them so that I could say I had friends, but really I was using them. I had no idea how to be a friend. And because of my hobbling addictions, some of these things I can't have. You know, I don't have children. I didn't have them. That's not going to happen. But I think my idea of what's worthwhile has shifted, and I can have an acceptance of myself, a gentle love for myself as God loves me. I can look into my in a mirror and say, Tony, I love you as God loves you. I've had highs in this year past of recovery with entire abstinence. I've helped others. I've had a very full schedule of sponsees and 10th and 11th step train partners, etc., and just really filled everything up. And downs, like now, I've gone into a depression and things have become overwhelming. And I'm looking again and asking, where am I at here, you know? And I've had a need to let go of some of these, some of this busyness, and surrender and sit with my higher power and regenerate, regroup, quieten down, and trust that I'm going to reemerge. And yes, these connections with others are important, but what about me and my higher power? So that was my share today. I thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thanks, Tony. Next up is Christina J., followed by Karen K.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. Gosh darn it. Diets, pills, therapy, spiritual retreats, affairs, my musical career, praise, acceptance, validation, even my precious husband. Pills, placebo or not, nothing healed my diseased soul. I have a diseased soul. I came in with it, And the life I had as a child just fed that disease. It's dis-ease. It's discomfort of my soul. Now, luckily, as a child, I discovered I had something to help that dis-ease, that uncomfortableness, that pain, that confusion, the little girl staring out into the world, not knowing what the hell was going on around her. I had food. I had sugar, something sweet, something pretty, something I grabbed right away. I have an illness. Twofold illness. One is the food, the allergy. It's in my brain. If I didn't have that illness, I wouldn't keep going and going and going. I'd eat some ice cream and quit. But I can't stop. I have an illness of my brain. Something in my brain gets triggered when I eat the crap. And I can't stop, and it kills me. It keeps killing and killing and killing. But I got this program. And for me, it's not just something that's empty. It's a program of action. It takes me through steps that open me up. First, the food goes away. And as someone has shared on the line, then the feelings come up. Then all that stuff that I've carried and hidden and buried down and try to uncover, discover, and discard through all these other things in life outside of myself didn't work, didn't help it. Oh, it did. It helped it for a little while. I understood. I got an understanding of my problem until I take the action of looking at my step four and seeing where I'm hurt, where I have resentments, where I'm fearful, scared. For me, it all comes from fear. Fear drove me all of my life. From that small child looking out in the world going, what the hell? You know, I didn't know I had an illness. I didn't know. Everyone else didn't know either because I hid it well. And in our society, it's okay to be heavy. So maybe we're not sick, we're just heavy, right? And some of us are. Some of us are just heavy. No one was sorry for me. No one got angry and hurt because I hid it so well and I had a smile and I was strong and, you know, I just hid in big clothes. But it engulfed my life. It caused me to have misunderstanding, fierce resentment against everyone. I know this is talking about the other person, but it's about me too. I had financial insecurity from all the money I was spending outside of myself on food, spiritual therapy, affairs, whatever I was doing. No one was disgusted with me. I was disgusted with myself. And I walked in shame. And I had a warped life since I was a child. But this book, God brought me to this book through my addiction. And I believe that I came in with a gift. The addiction was my gift that God did say, one day is going to come and turn around and hit you like a boomerang. Right. You're going to have to fall to your knees and you're going to have to come to me and reconnect through this program. That's what this program does. It reconnects us, and I'll finish, with this great power within us. And there's nothing like it. Stay on the train. Thank you. I pass.
All right. Thanks. So we have 2 minutes. Karen, could you just take 2 minutes, and then Susan B., you're going to have to go to the next meeting. I'm sorry about that.
Good morning, Ross. Hi, Ross. This is Karen Kay, recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. I was born with this disease, and I believe for myself that I always thought there was something different about me, which enabled me to push or gave me an excuse, maybe wasn't conscious of it at the time, to push people away even before probably the first compulsive bite. Maybe 2 years old, who knows? But to push people away, to push everything that could be possibly good for me away from me until I came into recovery when I was 23, then came into OA when I was 24 years old, and continue to use other things to push people away. And I have a wonderful friend in my life that when I used to go to meetings, he would say, you know, he would say his name. He goes, I'm not much, but it's all I think about. You know, he was the one that brought that message to me when I was 24 years old. And this disease is so self-centered and make it all about me. What I'm grateful for is I have Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a fellowship among me that I need to tap into. And it talks about it in the big book, too, about helping others and working for others. And that's where the other begins and the fellowship begins. And I'm just so grateful that I don't have to push people away anymore or any idea that I may not agree with. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you for your service, Russ.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for your share. Your last share, and we thank everyone who shared today. Let me get my script here. All right. Please join us for a second unrecorded study immediately following this closing. So to share ID for today, one second. The share ID for today, Friday, May 3rd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,371. 21371. All right. We'll now close with the reading from Big Book on page 164, followed by a Serenity Prayer. I believe it was Loretta. Yeah, I have Loretta H. is going to read this, page 164. Mm-hmm. Star one, Loretta.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning all along with my precious God. You are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.